This episode is brought to you by Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. In breaking news, leading scientists worldwide are conducting experiments to determine if Reese's Peanut Butter Cups are the perfect combination of peanut butter and chocolate. However, it appears the study was inconclusive, as the scientists couldn't help but eat all the Reese's. Because when you want something sweet, you can't do better than Reese's. Find Reese's now at a store near you.
Why take one vacation with the family when you could take all of them? With Royal Caribbean, you don't just go to the beach. You visit a private island and race down the tallest water slide in North America. You don't just go for a road trip. You ATV and zip line through the jungle. You don't just go somewhere new. You rappel down waterfalls and discover ancient temples. Because this isn't just any vacation. This is all the vacations. Come seek the Royal Caribbean. Ships Registry, Bahamas.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Talking about chicken a la king, mango and garbanzo, tabbouleh, real potatoes and vegetables with roasted garlic and basil, zucchini ziti, granola, fruit bar. Look at all this beautiful food.
Welcome to Green Eggs and Dan, everyone. It's another episode of What'd You Eat with Jordan Carlos.
Hello, Dan. How are you? I'm sorry I'm dancing like a Muppet here. I just had a lot of ginger.
Are you a ginger guy? Is that your thing?
Yeah.
You're always doing like weird, like,
have you had mushroom tea?
Okay.
Have you had the tea made of shiitakes?
Yeah.
Ground pulverized maitakes? It's supposed to be good for your brain.
Shut up. Give me an espresso.
You know what? You're not wrong. I do try a lot of different foods to help with my bod. And one of the fuds that I'm consuming right now is definitely a lot of ginger. There's a ginger intake that's happening, and I have to tell you something. If you eat a lot of ginger, probably like a fistful of ginger, it will give you what's known in these streets as a buzz. It'll give you a buzz in every little molecule of your body. It's not bad.
A fistful of ginger is a lot of ginger. That's probably the amount of ginger I eat in a year.
Oh no!
A fistful of ginger.
A fistful of ginger.
I probably have a knob of ginger once a month.
Okay.
So that gives us 12 knobs.
You want me to turn into wellness guy right now? You want to turn a wellness guy right now in front of you?
No, this is not a wellness podcast. We don't care about wellness. We care about deliciousness.
You're right. Okay,
so,
fine.
Tell me about your week. What did you eat? What did
you
eat?
Well, first of all, I went down to Charleston for a wedding. And immediately became Truman Capote. I went down to Charleston, and they give you a fan, like, when you walk off the plane, and they give you, like, a church hand fan instead of, like, a lei, like, in Hawaii. You get, like, a fan with MLK's picture on the front of it, and it's like, I do declare! I had all Southern eating. I gained at least 5 pounds. It was atrocious. I didn't even know who I was anymore. Charleston is such a great city. I'm sure you've been. You've been to Charleston?
You know, I have been to Charleston a long time ago. I always feel like Charleston and Savannah are the same place. Like, why are Charleston and Savannah never in the room at the same time? I feel like I confuse the two of those all the time. But anyway, yes, I've been to one of those cities. I think there's probably like Spanish moss falling from the trees.
There is Spanish moss falling from the trees. I do declare. The Spanish moss falling from the trees. Handkerchiefs on puddles so that you do not, I'll step on the water. It's so beautiful. It's so gorgeous. My wife, Alina, was like, oh my God, this place is so beautiful. I love it. My white wife, of the Caucasus, and she's like, look at this place. So beautiful. Architecture. I was like, you know what? You're right. And then I was like, oh yeah, we built all this. We built all of this. All of it. The whole thing we built for free. And I was like, and Dan, maybe you can relate. I don't know if you've ever been to Cairo or something like that, or the Valley of the Kings, but I'm sure.
Wow. Wow. I was just in Egypt. I was just in Egypt 2 months ago, so I know. Yeah. I was like, that's my pyramid.
I know people are always like, how did the Egyptians do it? Well, they went down to Home Depot and
yeah, all the Jews hanging out outside of Home Depot in Cairo.
Now, as to the food.
Yes.
The first night was actually my birthday. Hold for applause.
Donnie, just edit that pause out.
I'm sorry?
I'm just telling my podcast producer, Donnie, to edit that pause out because
wow,
no one was clapping. No one was clapping.
That's funny because I opened a door and an arena of people were just filled like a Beyonce Taylor Swift concert together. Boom. That many people were cheering for it. Another lap around the sun for Jordan Carlos. So we went to a place called Lenoir, even though it was clearly spelled Lenoir, but everybody was like, Lenoir. And I was like, that's fine. Because when you get older, you let go. You let go like a fart, like a burp. You can't hold on to these things. So we go to Lenoir, and everybody had the shrimp and grits. Everybody was doing the shrimp and grits.
Oh, my God. It's so funny you bring that up because I was about to bring up shrimp and grits. But keep going, and then I'll tell my story.
Everybody did the shrimp and grits, and because I zig when everybody else zags, I went ahead and got the fish. And the fish was a white fish. I can't remember what it was exactly, but it was delicious. It was crusted brown on the outside, tender white on the inside, you know? So it was flaky and yummy, and I gobbled it up. And everybody, it was fantastic. Now, prior to that, I should say, I met my wife's family, friends. We went to a little old house. And so we went in there, and it was, you know, everything's like in the garden of good and evil in this town. It's like you go in and it's like some old haunted house where they're like, a Negro, you know, those are the ghosts. And then we go and we have drinks with the kind of wonderfully Southern but liberal people that there.
Yes.
Make that make sense.
It just sounds like you're you were in like your version of Get Out is what this sounds like.
It was a bit of Get Out, but nothing happened. And it all coincided with a giant black wedding. So it was fine. We all had each other's backs, or so we thought. It was cool. But like, so we had drinks first, and that bar, let me see what the name of that bar was. Hang on one second.
Lenoir. I like that you turn into, what's his name? Who's the guy who got canceled? House of Cards?
Yes, I turn into Kevin Spacey. Frank.
Yeah, you're Kevin Spacey in House of Cards.
Okay, it'll come to me. The name of this bar will come to me like in my sleep at 3 o'clock in the morning. I'll wake up screaming and I'll be like, oh, Kevin, show me seal! Or whatever. But like, I can't remember right now. I can't do it. But I remember Lenoir, and that was really good.
I'll tell you this. When you brought up Charleston, and I think Charleston, Savannah, and I can't tell which one was which, where I've been, I do remember, though, it was probably Savannah, but I do remember having shrimp and grits for brunch for the first time. And my God, shrimp and grits, I don't know if you know this about Dana Dude. I like the atypical brunch foods, okay?
Oh,
I like... Like, I don't need the Eggs Benedict. I don't need the French toast. A spaghetti carbonara for brunch is the perfect brunch food because it's bacon and eggs. It's like bacon and eggs reconstructed in an Italian way, right? Mm. It's like a bacon and egg sandwich. It's an egg and cheese sandwich, but in a different form, right? The pasta is the bread. Mm. The guanciale is the bacon. The egg is the egg. The parmesan is the cheese. I mean, it's like a perfect upscale bacon and cheese sandwich. I love it.
Okay. The next time I'm at Sweet Chick, I'm going to be like, you better bring me that carbonara. They'll be like, you got that shit in the back.
Anyway, I was saying shrimp and grits to me is also an unsung brunch food. I think it's perfect. You're having your grits. You're having your porridge. You're having your shrimps. It's fantastic.
It's really good. It is great. I don't even know what a grit is, except for it's kind of like, is it like a potato? Something?
No, grits are corn. Grit is basically corn. They take corn, they dry it, they pulverize it, turn it into a powder, and then reconstitute it with water and or water and or broth.
Wow. How do you like your grits?
There's sweet grits and there's savory grits. And some people love their grits. Like, they'll get their grits and put salt and cheese in them. And some people will get them and put, you know, sugar, honey, maple syrup in them. I err on the sweet grits side, except when it comes to shrimp and grits, in which case I like the savory grit there.
You like the savory grits. Now, my wife was way into the savory grits. And I have to say, without this turning into a flashback from My Cousin Vinny, yes, people like their grits differently. Children love butter and sugar on grits. Ding, 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 ding. And then when you get older and you don't have time for everything and you put away your childish things, you want it savory. You want salt and pepper and butter. So you have a heart attack, you know? So that's what people want. But like, they enjoyed it. They enjoyed the savory. It was very good. It was a good meal all around. And then for my birthday, that part, they brought me out a carrot cake, which is my least favorite kind of cake, and made me question if my parents even know me.
Carrot cake is probably my favorite cake. I love carrot cake.
Well, then you'll love Lenore's carrot cake.
Oh my God. I love a good carrot cake. My cousin, Jubin Gabe, Dr. Gabe, his wedding cake was a fucking carrot cake.
For me, that'd be grounds for divorce. I'd be like, this person does not know me.
That is the best way to tell your whole family, like, we're not talking to any of you ever again after this night. We are alienating everyone after tonight. We do not care.
A whole fucking carrot grove had to die for Jimmy's cake.
Yeah. It's literally like one slice was taken out of it. Everyone else is like, is there chocolate? So you don't like carrot cake. That's a bummer. Maybe this is me being contrarian Dan when it comes to brunch and to cakes. Because with brunch, I like my atypical brunches. And with cakes, I like very polarizing cakes. I like a carrot cake. I love a key lime pie. No one likes fucking key lime pie. No one does.
I don't love key lime pie, but I like key lime pie. I will eat key lime pie with you. Baby, we'll go to the Florida Keys right fucking now. And we will have key lime pie. And we'll have the tartest little lips, like two little buttholes for lips. And we will eat that. No problem. But the thing about it is the carrot cake was very good.
How did the Florida Keys get the monopoly on key lime pie?
Well, because limes are tropical, right? So they're tropical. But lemons are not.
But these are key limes. Key limes are a different fruit. Ooh, I wonder if they're – key limes are a different fruit. And most key lime pie that you have is made with lime, but actual key limes are like these baby little tiny kumquat looking thing, bigger than a kumquat, but they're like not as tart. They're sort of a Goldilocks between lime and lemon.
Who am I on the Zoom with right now? What is going on?
I'm sorry. It's a food podcast and I know about food. Why are you always surprised when I know about food, fuckface? I've been doing this shit for fucking a decade. So I was like, Dan knows about food. So weird.
Fucking it's not asshole. That. It's the minutiae. It's the semantics that you go into about a lot.
Can I tell you where I ate this week?
Please, what'd you eat?
The listeners might be hearing a slightly banged up Dan Adut. That is because I went out to Korean barbecue last night with a bunch of my cousins.
Nice.
The Persians descended on Quarters Barbecue in Koreatown. Man, we had a lot to drink. I'd like to get into the drinking first. Well, here's how Quarters Barbecue works. You always have to wait at Quarters Barbecue. So you go there. It's in Koreatown in LA. It's in a shopping mall, which is funny. I was with a bunch of real estate Persians, and like of course, like as we're walking around, it's like all these like Korean, you know, eateries and bars and whatnot, and they're like, so who do you think owns this place? Is it a Persian guy or is it a Korean guy? And like one of them had like some special app that tells you like who's, you know, like it's like the MLS for like commercial real estate. And he looks it up. Plot twist: black guy owned the mall that had all the Korean places in it.
Bringing the soul to soul, baby.
Oh, my God. I imagine the face of these, like, old Korean men going to sign their lease, sitting down across from a black man and just being confused. They're a racist lot, I think. I picture, like, the old Korean liquor store owner yelling at the black person who walked in.
Oh, my God. I did not know that. That's crazy. And first of all, we are wise enough, if we're doing that well in business, to not put a black face first. That is a white admin named Jennifer or Lauren handling our business. Thank you so much, Jennifer and Lauren, for taking that rent money. That's wild, dude. So tell me more.
So you put your name down at Quarters, and then you have to dilly-dally because it takes about 40 minutes to get your table.
Dilly-dally? What are you talking about?
You go to a bar and start drinking until they text you and let you know that your table is
ready. Are you like a Portuguese prince? What do you mean you dilly-dally? You mean you hang out?
Yeah. We dillied and we dallied down to this bar that's in the strip mall that's owned by a black man that he rents out to Koreans. And the name of the bar is the best name of a fucking bar, I think, in life, in all of history. Ready for this?
I'm ready. Hold on. Okay. Exhale. Go ahead.
Toe Bang. The name of the bar is Toe Bang. Toe Bang. The best part about it is that, you know, it's not like a bunch of frat guys open up a bar and they're like, let's fucking call it Toe Bang. Like, it's like a very traditional Korean bar. And I bet like Toe Bang in Korean must mean like, you know, a glorious mountaintop. I don't know. But it's like, it's the name of the place is fucking Toe Bang, and it's great. Anyway, you walk in, it's very dingy, fun wood bars, wood tables, wood chairs, a lot of wood. And they've got Danadude's favorite restaurant accoutrement, which is the Korean button. I talk about the Korean button all the time, which is a button on the table that you can press at Korean restaurants and you get service. It's the perfect thing because then they don't bother you. You don't bother them. Korean button.
Love that.
Anyway, we did get a bunch of Japanese beers now, I remember, which I guess is actually this. Okay, we got we got Sapporo. We got a pitcher of Sapporo.
Whoa,
and then we got sake.
Whoa. They're serving beers at a Korean joint?
Yeah. And they also had sake at this one, which, you know, normally Koreans like to drink soju, which is their version of a rice-based, like a rice wine.
Yeah.
I can't stand soju. Man, I've had a lot of Korean friends try to convince me otherwise, and they're like, no, you've had the bad stuff. Let's get the really good stuff, and we get the really good stuff, and I still get a wicked hangover the next day. It's like fucking lighter fluid. It's rocket fuel. It's tough. But they had Japanese sake, and we got the sake. And now that I think about it, it was probably very offensive to go into a Korean restaurant and just get Japanese, because they have a sordid history.
Yeah.
Yes, the Japanese and the Koreans have a very fraught history.
Yeah. Were they like, yeah, I'll go get you some Sapporo. I'll be right back with a textbook and your Sapporo.
Oh my God.
That's weird.
But they had it on the menu. They had it on the menu. So I guess, you know, after time, everything heals.
Hey! Heal.
But, you know, look, it's kind of nice that they're now, it's an olive branch. They're reaching out. They have Japanese things. It's kind of in the same way that you were at Le Noir and they're like, how great is this authentic place that was just built here? It's like, yeah. Well, you know, time goes by and now you're a customer at Le Noir.
I know. It's crazy. And you know what's really weird is, like, the craziest thing about that district is, like, they don't want to build any new buildings. They're like, this is the greatest moment in our history. Why would we want to update? Why would we want anything new? We just want to look around and remember what was.
Look, slavery aside, they are beautiful.
Slavery
homes.
Aside, let's put that aside.
They're beautiful homes in Charleston. So we were at Toe Bang, and then our table was ready. We went to Quarters, and Korean barbecue, I'm gonna go out on a limb. I think Korean barbecue is actually way better than Japanese barbecue. Okay, I'm giving it to you, Koreans. I'm giving it to you. I took away from the soju. I think that Japanese sake is better than Korean soju.
Okay.
But Korean barbecue is way better than Japanese barbecue because Japanese barbecue takes itself too seriously. Like you're sitting in front of the grill and looking at the guy. You know, picture like an upscale Benihana. Like a, that's what they're like in Japan. Yes. Like the yaki, what is it called? Yakinoki, yakinuki, yaki something. Anyway. But it's like very serious and you're sitting there and looking. And I think that that takes the spirit of barbecue away. The spirit of barbecue is convivial. You're around. Yes. You're having a good time. It's not so serious. And I think the Japanese barbecue takes itself a little too seriously. The Korean barbecue has banchan, which is fun. All these fun little side things they bring, which are so fun. And then they have all these meats, which are great, which are delicious, which are wonderful. But nothing ever beats bulgogi for me. Bulgogi is what's just bulgogi? As good as it gets. So bulgogi is when you go to a Korean barbecue place, it's going to be like almost like a gloop of like chopped up meat that like super thinly sliced. And then you put it on the grill and it's super spiced with garlic and whatnot. I'll tell you in a second what it actually is, but it's like, oh, well, why don't I tell you now? Basically, what they do is they take strip loin, they cut it super thinly, then they shred a pear, and put it in this marinade. Pear is a natural tenderizer. It tenderizes the meat. Pear, kiwi, all natural tenderizers.
How do you know this about food?
Jordan, I swear to God. And then they mix in a bunch of like sesame oil and like, you know, some sort of soy saucy thing and a bunch of garlic, a bunch of sliced garlic. Okay. And it just becomes this super funky, fun meat. And it's always the best thing to get. And it's like I always try other things and I'm like, God damn it, I should have just gotten the bulgogi. It's kind of like the pad thai of Korean barbecue where you're like, ah, I should have just gotten pad thai. It's like the best thing.
Yeah.
The bulgogi, bulgogi is so great.
I have done that. I've had bulgogi before, and it felt like self-checkout. It felt like I was like, I didn't get a W-2. Why am I working at this restaurant? Make the bulati? What is it? Bulgogi? Bulgogi. Bulgogi? I mean, it seems like you had a night of all nights. You've been having these kind of nights. Whether it's Larry seasoned salt or whatever it is, it feels like you make sure that you bring along good companions, you know, great company. And if the food is great, even better, right? That seems to be the kind of the theme.
You know what's crazy is that the night before, I went on there's no good way to put this. I went on a blind date with a man.
Oh, that's beautiful.
I'm a straight man.
Okay.
But there was a guy, this guy, Kevin.
Well, this is already starting off well, yeah.
Kevin reached out on Instagram and he commented on some video that I did or some one of my Gen Z food reviews or whatever. And then I looked at his account and the guy was like a James Beard reader. Like he reads books for the James Beard Foundation.
Okay.
And he's like a sommelier. So he was like a legit foodie. And I was like, yo, where do you live? He's like, I live in LA. I was like, dude, we should go eat together once. He's like, I'd love that. Let's do it. And he is a gay man. But I saw from his account that he was married. So I was like, okay. And I made it clear. I was like, hey, man, can't wait for dinner. It's going to taste so good. Just, you know, maybe even as good as pussy to me. You got to make it clear. You got to set the ground rules.
Uh-huh. Despite yourself and your own, you know, weird feelings that this evoked, apparently. New and strange feelings. How was your date? How was your due?
We had a great date. We went to this new restaurant called Norma's in West Hollywood, which is sort of a fancy-pantsy Italian-y place. And yeah, it was really delicious. It was very fun. He was from the East Coast, I could tell, because by the time I sat down, he was already halfway done with his Negroni. So I was like, oh, okay, you drink. Yeah. You're an East Coaster. He's like, yeah, I'm from the East Coast. I was like, okay. Because you'll go out with these LA people and you'll have like a 3-hour meal and all they have is one glass of wine. And you're like, how are you doing this?
Just sipping it milliliter by milliliter. Is that what they're doing?
Yeah. Anyway, we had a wonderful time. I gifted him my book. I brought a nice bottle of wine because he's a sommelier. I thought he'd appreciate it.
Okay.
And again, not that it has anything to do with it, Jordan, but I thought you'd like to know that he is black. He's a black man. Okay. I'm not saying that I need a ticker tape parade, but I did go on a sight unseen blind date with a black man.
With a queer black man. Happy Black History Month. Black history has been made. Wonderful. Thank you. Is that what you're waiting for? Thank you so much on behalf.
I didn't even realize, by the way, that it was Black History Month, and I did it anyway.
Because you live it every, you live it, it's every month for you. I love it. Yes, you're like, you're out here.
Oh, yes. I'm burying the lead, by the way. I'm burying the lead.
Yes.
Kevin is a huge fan of yours.
Oh, well.
Huge fan of Jordan Carlos.
Jeez, come on, Kevin. What's up? This is huge. What's happening right now? We're just shouting this guy out. Thank you, Kevin, for all your support. Thank you for being you. Thank you for taking out my buddy, Dan. He does. You can be the West Coast Jordan Carlos. Kevin, that'd be great. That'd be fantastic.
Kevin, by the way, again, in honor of Black history, so much biracial stuff going on. Kevin is not married, but he's his partner of 15 years is a white man. You are married to a white woman. Donnie, my podcast producer, listening to this right now, he is a white, and his husband is a black. I just want to say that at Green Eggs and Dan, we like to foster a culture of racial harmony. In fact, my mom's name is Rachel.
You can barely say it. Dan, I, on behalf of everyone, we want to thank you for your good works.
Again, you know, I'm not doing this for the likes and for the...
Oh, my God.
I'm just being me in the world.
Sure. Well, it is. It's award season, and I did get something from your PR person about this. And, you know, we, FYC, for your consideration, Dana Dudes, behaviors and hanging out with black people. So we see it, and thank you so much.
Yes.
There's a couple screenings that Dana's doing. You put something together, right? It's like a little doc about how you hang out with different people of different backgrounds?
Yes, I did. I have to self-publish it.
What's the password for that?
Yeah. The password is Rachel is not only the name of my mom. It's also the way that I live my life. It's a long password. Oh, boy.
Did you enjoy the food at Norma's? I have to ask that. Did you like the food? Was it good?
I love the food. Actually, the chef is great. He's a friend. He's a friend of both mine and Kevin's, which we both didn't know that we knew him. Or that we were mutual friends with him. Yeah, so the chef is a friend, Chef Jason, fully love. He is cooking some very, very interesting foods. Like, I don't know, you couldn't really pin down the menu. Like, yes, there was a homemade agnolotti. Yes, there was an octopus, which I'm so tired of octopus. But man, his octopus blew my fucking mind. It was tender AF. He was cooking this A5 Australian Wagyu beef that he, like, is the only person who can get it in the U.S.
Interesting.
He's a badass chef, and his food is really delicious. And, Jordan?
Yes?
I don't know. Again, this is not important.
Okay.
Not important.
Okay.
That he is black. He's a black chef.
Okay. Dan.
What happened? What?
I've never been in a podcast with a man so thirsty for acknowledgement and recognition. Are you so Joe weird, Biden? Dude. What is happening right now? Okay, we...
No, his food is so delicious and wonderful, and I wish him luck in his new venture, because the restaurant is
Norma's.
Is fun. It's great. Okay. Norma's. Love it. Shout out.
Is that also in a strip mall owned by a black man, though we think it could be Korean and or Persian?
I don't know. No. You know, I have to give one little ding to Norma's. And Chef, if you're listening, this is gonna be like sort of a backhanded compliment. I think the food is better than the setting. The setting is the setting to me was a little bit too like made for Instagram. It was like a lobby of a hotel in Las Vegas. Like, there's a permanent ring light section.
Are you serious?
Yeah, and that to me kind of cheapened it a little bit, because man, his food is fucking awesome. And I hope they do away with those things and just let his food speak for itself.
It's just kind of probably the zeitgeist. It's very zeitgeisty at the moment, you know?
Well, and it's also probably like whoever one of the investors is probably like some private jet loser who's like, the kids love boomerangs. We're doing a boomerang section.
So what did you have for jert, as my kid likes to say? For jert, meaning
for what?
For dessert. What did you have?
Oh, for jert? Honestly, it was a liquid dessert. We had Amaro. Nonino on the rocks.
Okay.
That to me is like, you know, it's kind of that thing that you say about the older you get, the less you get into sweet, more into savory. Like an Amaro is like that is the highest level of sweet that I want to tolerate these days. Put it on the rocks. Give me a little bit of give daddy a little bit of a, you know, a little pinch just to help with the digestione, the digere.
Who and, are you becoming in this moment right now? Are you like a mafia boss, or is that who you are?
Yeah, I'm an old Italian man who needs his Amaro.
I love it.
And also, Jordan, again, not a big deal. I don't want to make a thing of it.
What is
it's not a big deal at all.
What?
The Amaro was a very dark brown / black.
Oh, for fuck's sake, Dan. Just let it go, okay?
And it was fine. It didn't make a difference. Uh-huh. I was cool with it.
Yes.
You know?
You were happy. You accepted it. You didn't even see it. It wasn't, you're like, make it darker. You're like, make it darker. I like it when it's darker. I fetishize the darkness. Thank you. Make it Wesley Snipes. Bring it out here. I'm like, okay, we get it.
Guys, we got to talk about meal delivery. We're busy. We don't have time to cook everything, all right? Even someone like myself who loves to cook. Factor's Delicious fills those holes. Ready-to-eat meals, they make eating better every day easy. Wherever tomorrow takes you, be ready with your pre-prepared, chef-crafted, and dietitian-approved meals delivered right to your door. You will have 35 different options a week to choose from, including keto, calorie smart, vegan, veggie, whatever you want, they got it. And they're delicious because like they have like real chefs making this stuff, okay? This isn't cafeteria food. This is chefs delivering you their creations. There's two-minute meals if you want to fuel up faster with Factor's restaurant-quality meals that are ready to heat and eat wherever you are. They've got snacks. They've got smoothies, a wide variety of easy options for the entire day, like breakfast, midday bites. Daddy loves a midday bite, and more. You can sign up and save. They've done the math. Factor is less expensive than takeout, and every meal is dietitian approved to be nutritious and delicious. Look, I used to do a ton of takeout, okay? All those Postmates, DoorDash, they get you on the back end. There's no back ending on Factors. Everything is very honest, and they get it to you to your door. It's delicious stuff. It's the perfect solution if you're looking for fast, upscale options done easily. Head to factormeals.com/greeneggs50 and use code greeneggs50 to get 50% off. That's code greeneggs50 at factormeals.com/greeneggs50 to get 50% off. Guys, I've had these meals. They're freaking great. Trust me.
Why take one vacation with the family when you could take all of them? With Royal Caribbean, you don't just go to the beach. You visit a private island and race down the tallest water slide in North America. You don't just go for a road trip. You ATV and zip line through the jungle. You don't just go somewhere new. You rappel down waterfalls and discover ancient temples. Because this isn't just any vacation. This is all the vacations. Come seek the Royal Caribbean. Ships Registry, Bahamas.
Ask me what I ate.
What did you eat, Jordan?
Dude, we went to this place called the Marina Variety Shop on the recommendation of the family and friends from Charleston, because I believe you must.
Oh, we're back in Charleston. Okay, we're back in Charleston. I didn't know where we were.
I'm not done eating in Charleston. I was there from Thursday to Sunday. Like, it was a lot. I had to eat a lot of stuff, dude.
Fun. Okay, so go on.
So we go in there. And by the way, it's just locals. There are no... And Charleston, by the way, is populated and powered by bachelorette parties. And that is all. Parties. Yeah. It's a lot of... If we went to go do some yoga one morning and it is just... There were flocks. It was like, imagine if Wall Street, you know, those jams of like, just like men in business suits from Joseph A. Bank. It's, this is just like women in aloe yoga leggings and outer voices. It's just, I mean, it's not bad. It's like, but it's a lot. It's as though Basic exploded. It's so like the amount of Lauren's, Kalen's, and Kirsten's on one city block were insane. And so my wife was like, imagine like probably 100 years ago, this could have been like filled with like drunks and like rebels. And like, this is more like, this is like, Kayla, what are you doing? After that, are we getting on a brunch to the beach? It was banana bread muffins. Anyway, so we go to this place where we get away from that to real Charleston by the marina. And we got, oh my God, everything's just so cheap. Everything's so cheap. We got like giant like crab cakes. Wifey got crab cakes and she got more grits. She was this Brooklyn girl. You go below the Mason-Dixon and she's just like, she becomes like Dukes of Hazzard and wants all this Southern food. And I was like, okay, this is really weird that you want this much Southern food the minute we leave.
Yeah.
Brooklyn. Here we go. So then the lady, the waitress is like, oh, we got some of the best hominy grits in the South. They come from about an hour away from here now. They used to be called Geechee Boy, but they had to stop that and change the name. So I was like, okay. So then we quickly Wikipedia Geechee Boy. What people might not know about this part of Charleston is that, like, and South Carolina, is the Geechee Gullah Islands, right? The Gullah Islands are like, it was an island where slaves from West Africa were able to maintain at least a part of their culture. And because of that, they speak differently and have different habits and behaviors of other African Americans. So like the Geechee Gullah are a little different and they speak as the, they literally sound like they're from the Caribbean. So it's almost like a, you know how like New Orleans is like a pocket of the Caribbean. Like that's right. Exactly what Charleston is too. Like when I heard the guy, there was a guy in the hallway that was like, you done with your room stuff? Great. You want that big? I was like, what? Like, I was like, Duolingo, get in here.
Gullah is a thing. Gullah cuisine is a big thing too.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
It's a very, very niche, little known, important part of American historical cuisine is Gullah cuisine, which is like Southern, but with a lot of seafood and spice from Caribbean, you know, African-y Caribbean things.
And wow, that you even know that, Dan, speaks to the fact that you deserve the award for Black History Month, that you would even deign to understand these things. Thank you so, thank you. Wow. Thank you so much for stepping outside of your comfort zone and being the white savior that we've always wanted. Thank you, Dan.
In the words of W.E.B. Du Bois.
No. Oh, God. Oh.
You're very, very welcome. I'm sure he said you're welcome at some point to someone.
I'm just thinking about if there's anything. Oh, yeah. The thing about the South is, man, we have the same foods as the North. But the hostility towards health and the hostility towards just like, you know what I'm saying? Like, dude, it's just so like, you don't have to, we got Brussels sprouts. They put maple syrup on that and bacon. What a fucking boy. Brussels sprout. What are you doing?
Yeah. When I never crave salads, but when I'm in the South after 3 days, I'm like, I need a raw salad quickly. I just need a salad. Give me a salad.
Shit. You can't shit.
We don't like to talk about scatological things on our food podcast.
You hate the scatos. I know. Okay. But it's like we need the flow. I'm just saying they hold on to things too long. You see what I'm saying? So anyway, It was a great wedding, all black cast, very nice. And it was like a bourgeois, very, very like, it's as though if Carlton Banks or Ashley Banks got married. It's like the cast of Blackish married the cast of the Fresh Prince. And it was like so beautiful. It was my dad's business partner's daughter. So it was beautiful, genteel. There were people like taking photographs outside the church, which we built. And it was just there's a lot of white people like gawking, like, look at that. Where did they get all the money for the limousine? And look at them. They're all so well-dressed and clean. Get the fuck out! Oh my god,
I'm picturing you just drunk walking around Charleston, going to like new developments and being like, we built this! And like, what are you talking about? This was built 3 years ago.
I might have.
You know what's interesting about South Carolina? I think they're, and I'm curious if you got to experience this, but
yes,
when we talk oysters in America, we usually stick to the Northeast, the Pacific Northwest, or the Gulf. And South Carolina has a very rich and delicious oyster culture. And I've only had them in Atlanta. I went to a restaurant and they were serving, you know, you have the list of oysters and it's always like Northeast, West. And it was like South Carolina. I was like, South Carolina has oysters? I didn't even know. And they're like, and she was like, they're fucking awesome. And they were amazing. They were really delicious. In fact, they reminded me of the oysters from Brittany in France that they had this plump butterness, but like it was like a really good mix of salinity, butteriness, mild, but just enough funk. Like they were a really beautiful oyster.
They were really great. The oysters never hurt black people. They were really good. They had nothing to do with slavery. And they tasted delicious. Okay. We went there. I was like, please just give me, you know, I'd like a dozen of small oysters. And he was like, well, we have different kinds. We got the sugar bacon over here. And I can't remember the names, but I was like, just mix them up for me. And they come from these like, you know, muddy shoals and everything. It's like, it's so good. And they're so huge and gluttonous, like people from the South. And you slurp those bad boys down, dude. We had a ball and they did not serve them on ice. They served them on salt, which was kind of crazy to me.
I do declare.
There's a ball called The Ordinary. So we're in The Ordinary. I don't know why I have to do this. I'm so sorry. But we would go to The Ordinary and we would just like get drunk and start screaming the name Tate out. Like Tate or like Trent. And people would turn their heads around. It was so fun. But the food was delicious, dude.
The Ordinary. I'm looking it up right now. Wow. This looks very cool. Beautiful food. It looks like it was like in an old bank or something.
It was in an old bank. They don't need money anymore. They just need food. So it's huge. It's massive. Dan, you would love this kind of place. This is the kind of place. This is a Danadute spot. It is like a bar that just goes on forever. And then, like, people are just so talkative and solicitous and just want to be your friends. And it's like, that's exactly it. It's fantastic. Perfect place for, like, an assassination.
They're the oysters.
Babies. How you doing, babies?
Yeah, this is a very charming place. One of my favorite types of restaurants is a seafood-centric place. Whether it's, this is Southern seafood-centric. Mm-hmm. I love a, like, New England clam shack, like, crab shack, clam shack. Mm-hmm. This is great. This is a Danadute spot right here. I love it.
Definitely. And it was so good. We had like the corner, like we were at the bar, but we were at the corner and it was fantastic. Like that kind of waypoint where you're like, you can see both sides of the restaurant and the service was fantastic. I highly recommend The Ordinary anytime you go to Charleston. We always walk in like, we don't have any reservations. We don't give a fuck, like, seat us. And they're like, we work with you. Don't worry. You know? So that's the New York coming through.
I love that.
Is that you? I feel like you're the guy who calls ahead and, like, tries to get the resi. But do you ever use BDE or Big Dan Energy and go in just, like, kicking the door off the hinges and you're like, what's up?
No, not like that. But I'm usually very good at like I usually go on Instagram and we'll DM them, and then that usually they'll go to my page. It'll give me the food street cred, and then you know I'll get taken care of. One of my cousins was like, "I'm going to Napa Valley this weekend. Can you get me a reservation at the French Laundry?" Like yesterday, I'm like, "Dude, people book this place like a year in advance." So like I DM the French Laundry. I was like, "Hey guys, any chance?" You can get a table for two on Saturday night.
What happened?
They didn't even respond.
Get the fuck out of here. Get the fuck out of my face.
They just sent back a picture of Thomas Keller giving me the finger.
Can I ask this? What is your best advice then to people that want to get, I mean, like, you can do that, right? Are there any other ways or means of getting a table that might seem, as Dan would say, impossible?
You know, there's a really wonderful series that I like now that New York Magazine, Grub Street, is putting out. That Zach, who's the editor, does. And it's very fun, where it's called Impossible Tables. And he will go to these restaurants like Lilia or like, you know, all these impossible tables. And he will just walk up and be like, I don't have a reservation. And he films the whole thing. And it's like, how long does it take for him to get a table? And 9 times out of 10, and I'll talk about the 1 out of 10 that didn't work. 9 times out of 10, he waits about an hour, maybe less. So I think if you pre-plan, go to the hotspot and plan on going to whatever your toe bang is going to be that night to go before you get seated, then you can have a really wonderful evening. Like, I actually have that set up for a lot of these places. Yes. Like, I know what bars I'm going to be pre-gaming at before.
You're right, though. It is important to have like a kind of a foreplay spot. A toe bang, if you will. Yeah, because...
A toe bang. Toe banging is foreplay. Wait, maybe that's why they named it that. It's like, this is where you get your toe bang before you're ready for the main attraction.
Absolutely. We get the whole foot. Now, I feel like that kind of stuff works on my ego so badly. Like, I can't have a DMV-like experience. So I'd need that, like, place that they can recommend to me, you know?
Listen, I get it. I'm with you. For example, Sushi Fumi, great sushi place in LA, very good prices and great quality. So because of that, there's always a line. Like, there's always a line. And people are outside annoyed. But across the street is a Roger Room, wonderful cocktail bar. I go, put my name down. I'm like, text me. I go across the street, Roger Room, have my Negroni, and then I'm ready for my meal. I mean, like, you got to just pre-plan a little better. But, I was saying before, the Grub Street thing where 9 times out of 10, he gets the table in like an hour on these super difficult tables.
Yeah.
There was one episode he did where he went to Carbone and he's like, hi. And he's like this very cute, like little gay man. He's like, hi, I just want to get a table, please. And the guy and like the bouncer outside of Carbone is like, wait, do you have a reservation? And he's like, no, I don't. I just wanted to walk in. He's like, no, you're not going to fucking sit down here. It's fucking Carbone. Are you crazy? And he's like, oh, there's like no way that I can just like wait. And he's like, no, it's fucking Carbone. What's wrong with you? He walks away very, very just like meek and is like, I've never felt like I need to move out of New York ever. And I think like now I need to just leave. Anyway, I took the clip I sent it to Will Nazar, who's our mutual friend, who is the CFO of Major Food Group.
Right.
I'm like, holy shit, dude, look at this. How funny is this? And Will goes, that guy's getting fired today for this.
Oh,
and he fired the door guy.
Wow. It's not necessary.
He was like, dude, I don't care how crowded our restaurants are. No one should ever be treated like that. And and honestly, it's like, part of me is like, I don't want to get someone fired. But the other part is like, yeah, there's going to be other people who will take that job and be nicer about it. Like that, it was so fucked up.
Yeah.
And then I told Zach about it and he's like, no, I don't want to get him fired. I was like, too late. The damage is done.
Why post it? You know, it's very much like, it's very 1998. It's very, very like, it's giving 98 vibes. Like, you'll never get into Nobu. Yeah, like, okay, relax. Yeah. Oh, wow. That's crazy, dude. That's crazy.
Sailor did it to me.
Ask me one more time. What'd you eat?
Jordan, what'd you eat?
Okay. As we was leaving Charleston.
Oh, we're back in Charleston.
We have to leave. We have to bring this home. So my dear wife, I love my wife so much. We're going to the plane, right? It's time to leave. I get a 7 o'clock flight. Why? Because I'm cheap. Okay. And the little app on TripIt, this podcast, to my knowledge, is not sponsored by TripIt, but shout out to TripIt. It'll tell you exactly when to leave for the airport. It's amazing.
Fun.
So I was like, TripIt says to leave at 5. My wife is like, fuck that. We're leaving at 5:40. I'm like biting my fingernails. I'm like, sure, my darling. And then we leave at 5:40. We basically do a knee slide onto the plane. You know, I feel like Tom Cruise holding on to a fucking C-10 Goliath as it's like taking off. We get on, and all that I could get in that airport was a Dunkin' Donut for breakfast. But let me tell you something, my man. It was worth it. It was worth it. The squeeze was worth the juice. It had been a minute since I'd had Dunkin' Donuts because I hold myself in high regard. And then when we got to New York, my wife, who had not eaten, she was like, I don't want them Dunkin' Donuts. I'm also married to a Muppet. I'm hungry. And I'm like, babe, in an airport, everything is overpriced. But when you go to the Delta Lounge, A1, by the way, the Delta Lounge in the A wing of Terminal 4 is so nice. And no one ever goes over there. They were playing Bossa Nova, but naturally, like Bossa Nova music was like taking over your body, you know, like it's like ding o da. So it was the best breakfast and the best welcome there, and that's it.
Okay, here's my takeaway from that. Yes. Jordan is so goddamn cheap that the flight after a wedding has to be a 7 a.m. No one's business people take a 7 a.m. flight so they can get to the
major
meeting.
Fucking business, buddy.
A post-wedding flight at 7 a.m. to save $100. And then, rather than going home and getting food, he lands and goes to the lounge to just get another meal in before leaving? Wow.
Land and lounge. Land and lounge. Let me tell you something about the JFK airport, okay? The baggage claim? Nobody's taking your bags. Nobody cares. Nobody cares. You're fine.
Right.
All right. The bags are just spinning. They're late anyway. All right. It's my people taking the bags off the plane. We're like, talk to my supervisor. I'm on break anyway. You know it and I know it. Those bags could be forever. And people are sitting there like a mystery. They're like, why are the bags taking so long? I fucking know why.
You just lost me all of my goodwill with the black community that I have fostered throughout this whole episode. Wait, I do have a quick question. What was the donut that you got?
You know what it is, man. Sprinkles. Strawberry on top. Gotta have the sprinkles.
Wait, strawberry frosted instead of chocolate frosted?
I got strawberry frosted. I zig. I am polarizing when it comes to my Dunkin' Donut choices. I know I am because the lady goes, strawberry.
You're like, yes, the one that looks like a donut emoji. That's the one. I love that you're like, you know what I got. And then it's like you've named the most random fucking donut that they have. You know what my zag is at Dunkin' Donuts? Is the French curler.
Is that, what is that? That's not even on the menu. That's off menu at Dunkin' and you know it. You're like, French curler, double animal style. And they give that to you if you fucking know it. I've never heard of that in my life. There's no such thing as that. What are you even talking about?
You're going to eat your fucking words, dude. You're going to eat your goddamn words. The French...
Dude, put that... That needs to be part of this show. Call it Eat Your Words. All right. French curler.
It's spelled cruller. C-R-U-L-L-E-R.
Oh, a cruller. Yeah.
It's not even like a donut. It's like the...
Oh, that fucking thing? That's so crazy.
It is to donuts what bialys are to bagels. Like, it's just a weird side hustle of the donut world, and they're delicious, especially, but they have to be fresh out of the oven.
The bialy and the cruller are the inbred cousins of both of those things, okay? So gross.
I love the French cruller, but my go-to is definitely going to be a glazed donut. A glazed donut at Dunkin' Donuts is mwah, chef's kiss.
I'm sorry, are you a fucking sociopath? Why would you get a glaze only?
No, sociopaths get the old-fashioned. If you're getting the old-fashioned, you are filling up on calories to go kill a family.
Anyway.
I love you, I love you, I love you. Thank you. And I don't know, we don't have a sign-off.
But, we don't have a sign-off.
Keep eating food and stuff.